I am Kathy Bossert, interviewer for the Burnaby Mountain Oral History Project. Today is Friday, January 8, 2016. I am interviewing Mary Lumby in her home on Burnaby Mountain in University. Actually, could I ask you to say that University is, am I saying that right?
Yeah, I've heard different pronunciations, but generally it's University.
University, yeah. Okay. Mary, you were born and educated in Vancouver.
Correct.
And in 1967, you were hired as a teacher by Burnaby School District No. 41 when you were 20. Tell me about how you were hired by SD 41.
Oh, my goodness, that's an interesting question. Back in the day, we applied to a number of school districts and we got called for an interview, and it was around spring break, and I heard within a couple of days that I had been hired, and I spent my whole career here in Burnaby with a 9-year leave when I had my children, and then I went back into the school district, and I'm still working.
And where were you when you were 20 years old and hired by the school district?
I started out at Douglas Road.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where you were before you were hired.
Oh, I was at UBC. Oh, I went directly from UBC into a job, which was the routine back then. Now you have to go through a series of TOC months and whatever and get your feet wet before they actually put you in a classroom. Okay. So I went directly from UBC into a classroom.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you were getting your teaching degree at UBC at that time then?
Yes, I was. Yep.
And what schools have you taught at in Burnaby?
After Douglas Road, I went for 2 years to Suncrest. And then I was still in my 20s. I had never really been anywhere, so I applied for a general leave to go traveling. Okay. And I received the first leave ever by the Burnaby School District for someone just to go and do something different rather than pursuing further education or a mat leave or whatever. This was just called a general leave. I got the first one.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And where did you go?
I went to South America and New Zealand and the South Pacific.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, I did. And I became a better person because of that. And I think a better teacher.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And when you returned, where did you teach?
I was assigned to Stride. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that the school that you were at pretty well your whole
career? Yeah, then I spent 13 years at Stride, and it became a community school during that time. And I was actually involved in the community school process in Burnaby. And we did an application for that school to become a community school. So I'm very proud of those years because we put a lot of time and energy into the whole community aspect of education.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And you obtained your teaching degree at UBC. Was that in 1974?
Yes. When I first started teaching, you only had to have a 3-year degree. So I went out when I got that first job, I just had a 3-year degree, and then I picked up my 4th year while I was still teaching.
Okay. Yeah. And what drew you to a career in teaching?
I just always wanted to be a teacher. My mom said when I was little, I used to bring all the kids in the basement, and I had a big old chalkboard, and I used to teach simple addition, and I used to like to sit with kids and read when I was very young. So I guess it was in my blood right from the start.
Oh, that's great. And what has kept you interested in teaching?
I just love working with kids, and I love seeing them progress and learn. And like I said, it's in my blood.
Yes. In 1977, you moved to Burnaby to a home in Parkrest. What made you decide to live in Burnaby and in Parkrest in particular?
I guess partly because I was working in Burnaby and I had got married in the meantime, and we just thought Burnaby was a really good growing community and a good place to put down roots and a good place to have children.
And why was that? That you thought it was a good place to...
Well, because I was so involved with education in Burnaby, I thought it had a very good school system, and it had a lot of opportunities for families, like a lot of recreational activities. Oh. I just thought Burnaby was a great place to live.
Uh-huh.
So,
Parkrest is on the west edge of the old Lockdale historical neighborhood and the west slopes of Burnaby Mountain. What did Burnaby Mountain mean to you when you lived in Parkrest?
Well, at that time, it was, I guess, well, certainly not as developed as it is now. There were lots of opportunities to walk and meet people, and it was just a very nice, thriving community. It just appealed.
Yes. Did you use Burnaby Mountain for recreation then?
Not as much back then, because we were working and then we had this little family and everything. We used it, but not as much as we could have.
Okay. Yeah. What kinds of things would you have done on Burnaby Mountain? This would be back in the late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah, well, first of all, SFU was brand new because I believe, well, SFU was built in 1965, so it was a pretty, so I think once SFU started to be built, the community around it started to develop. So I remember going up to Burnaby Mountain Park, and at that time, Horizons is there now, but there was a restaurant called The Owl and the Oarsman.
Oh, yes.
That was, it was like a closed-in restaurant. And that was in the day, like when the keg first started, there was something about going into a restaurant that was like a cave. You had no natural light and everything was kind of dark and steamy. And The Owl and the Oarsman was at the top of Burnaby Mountain. But I always remember taking, when someone was visiting from out of town, we would always go to Burnaby Mountain Park and look at the view of Vancouver from Burnaby Mountain Park. Mm-hmm. And that was always a good thing to do.
Would you hike on the trails at all?
I wouldn't call it hiking. I would call it more like walking.
Yes.
But yes, there was some of that.
Just a couple of years before you moved to Parkrest, between 1974 and 1976, the city of Burnaby delineated a conservation area on Burnaby Mountain. When you lived in Parkrest, would that have had any significance for you?
I don't recall that. I was really immersed in teaching at that time. I don't recall that at all. Okay. No, all right. I don't.
In 1983, you and your growing family moved to Forest Grove. Tell me why you decided to move to Forest Grove.
Okay, actually it was Forest Hills. And there's a lot of, if you go back to those early 80s, that neighborhood, the neighborhood that's up where the school is now, where Forest Grove School is, was called Forest Grove.
Okay.
And then the housing development that bordered on Shelmont and had the original properties that were sold by Shell, that area was called Forest Hill Properties. In fact, the name on the housing, when you enter the housing development, says Forest Hill Properties. So I know now realtors call Forest Grove Forest Hills, where actually I believe, because I was there at the beginning, that the area where the housing is off Arden and Shelmont is actually Forest Hill.
Okay.
And the area up at the school is Forest Grove.
Okay. Now, there's actually another term that I've heard used for in that same area is Simon Fraser Hills.
Simon Fraser Hills is a specific development area. There's a townhouse development called Simon Fraser Hills.
And that, is that south of Gillardy then? Or it's very confusing looking at the maps and. The other term that I've used, that's of course used for this area, is Burnaby 200. Did you know
Burnaby 200? Yeah. No, I've never heard that.
So you lived on Arden.
I lived on Woodhurst.
Woodhurst. So
yeah.
This doesn't show all the,
which is right behind the golf course. There's Underhill. This is just Forest Grove. This map.
Oh, so you lived. You didn't live right in Forest Grove?
No,
then.
I lived in Forest Hills, which is right in here.
Oh.
Here's Shelmont, here's Underhill, and right here there's a section of very nice homes, and it's called Forest Hill Properties.
Oh,
and
right.
Everyone in that neighborhood accessed Forest Grove School and, you know, had used the Forest Grove area. And this is the tank farm up here.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that used to be owned by Chevron and was sold.
It was owned by Shell.
Shell.
When we bought our lot, the selling seller was Shell Oil. Yes.
Okay.
And if you want to know an interesting thing about that, we bought our property, which was the largest or second largest lot in that development, for $68,000 in 1982. And I just checked the assessment, and the not including the house, but the land value is $1.2 million.
Oh, isn't that
yeah.
something?
Yeah. I know. But I don't have that property anymore, so.
So when you moved to Forest Hills, it was quite new then as a development?
It was all lots. It was dirt. It was a pile of dirt that was all, had been all measured out for lots and for building lots, yes.
And that was in 1983.
Yeah, they started in around 1980, 81, but because it was, there was no Arden then, there was just an old dirt track. So to actually even drive into the sales office, you were putting your car in jeopardy. It was very, very rustic. And no one really wanted to buy the lots. And I think our lot that we ended up buying was up in the 80s then. And then they reduced them. So the lots were reduced by probably $20,000. Yeah, which at that time was a lot of money.
Yes. It must have felt very isolated there because you were surrounded by the tank farm.
Well, the golf course
area,
and the golf course was on the other side. And then Lake City was to the south.
Right.
So it was like a big chunk of land that had been subdivided into lots. But it was isolating to get there because there were no other homes right in that immediate area. Yeah.
And you to access then, you would have gone through Forest Grove?
No. Underhill was there.
Okay.
And Broadway was there. So to turn up into there, you had to turn onto this dirt track that went where Arden is now, that went off Broadway. So you'd be heading north from Broadway on this dirt track to get into the actual sales office. Yeah.